Questions, please, not statements. I've told you once already. So.
Chair, should we take several at once? Because there's quite a few lined up. So that's good.
Either that or just faster answers, because we've gone on a bit. That's
a question for the gentleman here on your right and my left, I guess, whatever. I was part of a gay and lesbian marriage and safe sex practices panel that was done back in Los Angeles years ago, and got acquainted quite heavily with with the gay lifestyle. In fact, many of the meetings were held in Hollywood at the Gay and Lesbian Center.
Questions, please.
My question is to you, I was quite concerned of the numbers that I was seeing, and obviously the feelings for marriage are very strong, just as strong as a heterosexual couple. But an issue that I wanted to put to you is more of a medical issue of perhaps where is this coming in your opinion on it. Studies have shown that back in my time and years before, 50s, 60s, and 70s, that soya products were used, soya milk. They were removed from baby formulas in the last few years because they found that it produced an excess amount of estrogen, both in the boy and the girl. Is it possible that what we're dealing with here as well is perhaps a redefining? They found the little boys were not developed, became more feminine.
I think we know the question. Yes, Patrick.
So would you address that issue?
Is it possible? No.
Next question. Thank you.
Hi there. As an atheist from Glasgow, I hope David will forgive me if I ask this question in a nice way.
I love Glasgow. We do atheists. I love them. Carry
so,
on.
So I would like to ask, Peter mentioned in his speech about religious freedom. I would like to ask David and Peter, do they acknowledge the religious freedom of Muslims to enter into polygamous marriage? Do they understand the religious freedom of creationists to not teach science in state-funded schools? Or do they agree with me that the only way that we can rationally debate these issues is in a secular forum?
So, okay. Sorry, you, just to clarify, you're asking me, do I believe in the religious freedom of Muslims
You mentioned religious freedom. No, yeah. So, obviously, you mean religious freedom for you as a Roman Catholic, but does that apply to other faith groups? Therefore, would you acknowledge and respect people of the Muslim faith that want to enter into polygamous marriage, people of the who are...
Oh, right, okay, thank you. Yes, ultimately. So in other words, I actually, one of the things I disagree with on the other side, is that I think people already have the, if they want to have a, what they call a gay wedding, they already can do. They can't have an official one, but they could, if they wanted to go to Unitarian Universalists and they wanted to have what they call the wedding with all the with the rings and everything else, they could do that. Well, the same thing's true, in a sense, for Muslims. If a Muslim group want to, if a guy wants to have two women in his home, and they want to have that affirmed in a religious context, then knock yourself out. Why not? But I'm saying that the government should not affirm that, should not have that as an established recognition. So with regards to creationists, yeah, if they want to set up their own private schools, go ahead. They shouldn't get government money for
it. You can't say
that.
There's a distinction. You can't say that.
Why
creationist
not?
Schools?
I just have.
Well,
that's enough. You should feel a pang. That's
I think that's enough polygamy. Let's have a...
Mr. Rennie, I've heard a bit about religious freedom, but just looking at freedom of conscience more generally, do you think that there can be any protection that would be workable in terms of if same-sex marriage is introduced and, just for example, teachers, foster carers, individuals who don't wish to endorse that for their own philosophical or religious, basically conscience-based reasons, if a teacher doesn't wish to teach that, you know, this is marriage, this is what it means, marriage can be a man and a man, marriage can be a woman and a woman, or a man and a woman, if a teacher's conscience tells them that they can't do that under these proposals, is there not a real danger that many teachers in that position are going to lose their jobs, and likewise that people who would be foster carers can't be, simply because they're not willing to say what they just don't believe is true?
I mean, the best teachers that I know actually give a rounded picture. They give the facts of the law. They give details of what every different religion believes. That's why it's, you know, it's much more rounded education. It's not about saying to a child what is absolutely right and absolutely wrong. It's about giving them a fulsome education so they understand all the facts. That's, to me, what it's about. So no teacher under those circumstances would lose their job. That's not what would happen.
Just do wonder how that could be possible, given that it's part of, well, given that already it should be part of, and I'm sure that in at least several local authority curriculums, it would be part of the health education to promote the importance of marriage. So once we have marriage changed in this manner, I do wonder how comfortably it would sit, for example, with a teacher who for religious reasons or philosophical reasons doesn't endorse this form of marriage, nonetheless having to teach a syllabus which promotes marriage, equal marriage in all its forms.
But they don't have to give their views on in that context. This is about them giving a rounded education, and a rounded education is within the law. I don't see why any teacher would have any problem with that.
Thank you. Come to Merkeston and we'll show you.
Perhaps I'd better say where I come from, in that I'm probably the oldest person here. I'm 81, which means that I have 5 grandchildren. The oldest has just started school at 5, and the other is just weeks old. My concern is that what is decided by the Scottish Parliament will have a tremendous effect upon them. And the question I want to ask the two MSPs is this. Why is there not a referendum on this issue as there is to be upon separation? I walked today, and I'll be just a couple of sentences, walked around where I've met a man, and I talked to him probably once a week, and he discovered that I was a committed Christian, and he said, well, I'm an atheist. He said to me, what are you doing today? I said, I hope to go to that meeting. What's it about? And when I told him, he said, it's madness. Tell them not to go ahead with that. So in other words, it's not just Christian people, but it's many people.
So the question is referendum. Let's referendum.
But I think it will have a tremendous effect. I think it will have a tremendous effect on those five-year-olds, because actually I think it will instill in society more respect and equality. And I think that's what politicians should lead on. In terms of the referendum, we don't have a referendum on every subject. We have a referendum on the Constitution. That's what the SNP put in their manifesto, and that's what we will now deliver on. You don't have it on every subject. There's 15 bills going through in the current session of Parliament. We're not having a referendum on every single one of them. Now, you might want one, but actually the judgment is, in the political parties, is that we do not favour a referendum. Now, don't like it, then don't vote for those parties. But that's how it works.
To do that now.
I understand why some people who are very opposed to this legislation and who do come perhaps from a very different starting point to it than myself, some people want to have a referendum. I hope you can understand why some people who will be personally affected because they want to be able to get married and at the moment they can't, I hope you understand why they would feel very strongly, we didn't get a vote on your marriage, why should you get a vote on ours? Now, you know, I'd like to congratulate you on your recent addition to your family. If one of your grandchildren grows up to be heterosexual and not to know very many people who are in same-sex relationships or whatever, they probably won't be affected very much by this at all. They will be profoundly affected if they grow up to be gay or lesbian or bisexual and they fall in love with someone of the same sex. They will be profoundly affected if they are growing up in a society where they have the same choice that their neighbour has, to marry or to have a civil partnership, because I think that should be available to everyone as well, or to cohabit or whatever they choose to live their life.
Well, thank you for your answer. My real fear is that you're afraid in the government to put the question to the nation.
Yeah. Can I just reiterate in response to that? Same-sex attracted people can get married. They can marry any person from
not
the opposite
the
sex
they
that
love.
They want. Well, I can't get married to three women. Again, it's not relevant. The simple fact of the matter is, marriage is between a man and a woman. That is
a
constitutive element of what marriage is. And actually, I think we saw the real reason why people are pushing for this redefinition of marriage in what Willie Rennie said. What he essentially said was, it would be good for society in general, for children under five, if they're brought up in a society where same-sex attracted people can get married. What they really want is a change in attitude. What they really want is social engineering. This is what this is about. Now, if a man and a man want to go to the Unitarian Universalists, they want to have a little ceremony where they exchange rings and all that kind of thing, there is nothing stopping them from doing that. Not a single thing. In the same way that there's nothing to stop you from living with, if you're a woman, five men, or if you're a man, five women. The point is, does the state have an interest in affirming this? I would argue,
yes.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, on the question of the referendum, I want to vote for Scotland to be independent. I do. That's my political position. I consider the redefinition of marriage to be so fundamentally different that there is no way that I am going to vote in support of Alex Salmond breaking off Scotland, saying this is progressive, when in actual fact it's one of the most regressive things that has happened in Western history. So I want to know why politicians say they trust the electorate and follow the electorate, and yet they won't put this to the electorate. Because, Mr. Rennie, we have no choice. The only party in Scotland who is against same-sex marriage is the BNP. And I'm not voting for the BNP, whatever. And actually, the Scottish Christian Party as well, and I'm not voting for them either.
UKIP and the Christian Party as well.
And the Scottish Christian Party, I'm not voting for them either, and UKIP, no thanks. But what I'm left with, it seems that the rest, there are politicians. I want to know why politicians in mainstream parties, 10 years ago, not one of them was advocating same-sex marriage. Now it's all a given. It's a right.
Absolutely.
You were.
This has been my party's policy for more than 10 years.
Sorry, I was
absolutely
talking about mainstream parties. But
So much for not getting personal. I won't say anything about mainstream religion, all right?
No, listen, I'm free Kirk, so we don't count.
Okay. Next question.
Great. A question for Patrick, please. Patrick, in your conversation, you said you hope that society gets to the point where no church would be mean or irrelevant enough to turn away a same-sex couple.
Yeah.
What role will the state have in helping society to get to that point? What role will state-funded schools have? And what option will I have as a parent to teach my child differently to what the school teaches? Will I be seen as mean and irrelevant for upholding traditional marriage to my daughter vis-a-vis what the school might teach about the equality of same-sex marriage?
The role that the state has, or will have, I hope, when legislation is passed, is to permit but not compel. That's the position of all of the political parties, all of the MSPs that I've spoken to. It's the position of all of the campaigning organisations for same-sex marriage is that the law and the state should permit but not compel. And I think you have to come to that point of view, whether you start with religious freedom, which currently doesn't exist, or LGBT equality. Permit but not compel. When it comes to education, I don't want schools to be telling lies to children. So I certainly, if marriage, same-sex marriage is made legal, I certainly don't want schools to pretend that it isn't marriage, because it is. It's a change in the law. And I certainly want schools to affirm the equal dignity and worth of LGBT young people. I think that's extremely important. Parents, obviously, are entitled to teach their children what they wish, whether that's something I agree with or not. I very much hope, that every parent in making those decisions contemplates how it would impact on their children if they turn out to be gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender, and whether they feel affirmed and supported and loved in that context.
Thank you. I'd like to have another crack at asking Peter's perennial question, which I feel has been dodged. I'd like to reword it as a hypothetical question to try and to deal with what, in my view, have been the dodges. So if it was the case that there were a group of people who were campaigning for, say, polyamorous or polygamous marriage, if it was also the case that the majority of the public supported it, if it was also the case that lawyers had come up with a form that was workable and was on the table and seemed to be able to capture the relevant features of these types of relationships, what would your view be then? Would you be in favor of it, or would you be against it? Would you be in favor of their claims for marriage equality, or would you be against them? If you're against them, on what grounds?
I don't know. I would look very carefully at what the proposal was. I would try and talk to the people who were affected by it, and I would think about it. But that we're not in that situation.
It was a hypothetical question. I asked if you were in that situation.
That's what I would do. I would think very carefully about the detail of what was being proposed, and I would talk to the people who were going to be affected by it.
So there's no matter of principle you'd bring to bear on the issue?
I suspect many principles would come to bear on the issue, but without knowing what the detail of such a proposal would be in some hypothetical future, it's impossible to answer the question.
Can you understand that people might not be entirely reassured by that and might feel that this is the first signs of a slippery slope?
I can understand why people who are concerned about polygamy might not be assured about the question of polygamy. I can't understand why that whole hypothetical discussion tells a same-sex couple why they shouldn't be allowed to get married.
Well, because the slippery slope argument, if you're putting forward a principle that has logical consequences and I'm pointing out the logical consequences and you're saying you wouldn't go to those logical consequences,
but this isn't
I think you need to give a reason why you wouldn't go to
them. But this isn't a logical consequence of same-sex marriage.
It's logical.
Mixed-sex polygamous relationships already exist. Mixed-sex marriage has not led to them being legalized. So, this is not a logical consequence.
So do you think it's...
Thank you. Now, boys and girls, that's enough polygamists coming down slippery slopes, I think. Please. Next question.
Thank you. I've got two very short questions, so I won't spend much time in explaining that when you have a sample of 3,000 people of a population of 5 million, the margin of error is 1.8%, which probably tells you a lot more than 20,000 Catholics writing in, self-selected Catholics writing in postcards. So my question for David, firstly, you brought up a black person and a white person marrying. Would you like to live in a society in which we vote on the rights of those people to get married? And to Peter, can I just ask, why do you keep referring to same-sex attracted people? It's just not something I've come across before. Thank you.
Okay, I'll go first. No, I don't want to live in that kind of society, and that's precisely the reason I'm opposed. I said during my speech that I'm opposed to governments redefining marriage because they don't have the right. We don't vote on marriage. Marriage is between one man and one woman in every society. In every society since... In Western Europe, that has been what we've built our society on. I do not think that a group of politicians who have been elected by a minority of the electorate have the right to change that definition without at least consulting the people and taking a great deal more time to think through the implications. So no, let's not vote on it.
The term same-sex attracted simply means that you are attracted to some of the same sex as yourself. I do think that the term gay has often had some ideological trappings, which I'm particularly not comfortable with. I think that essentially a lot of people within that community, if you like, have a sort of essentialized their identity within it. So I've been in the practice of using the term same-sex attracted because it has no ideological basis to it. But it also isn't as clinical and offensive, arguably, as some people do think, as homosexual. I can understand why people don't like that phrase. So I'm trying to use a phrase which is inoffensive to everyone, but doesn't have ideological trappings with which I don't want people to be trapped into. Do you see what I mean? So that would be my reason. But again, this is not a debate about sexuality. This is a debate about marriage. And again, as I've said before, same-sex attracted people do have the right to marry. They just can't marry the person that they want to marry. That's not about, that's not a relevant question to what marriage is. Marriage is between a man and a woman. That is the definitional core of marriage, naturally, socially, and politically.